dismay, only for Hawk to bellow in fury again, and the doors groaning once more with the force of his weight being flung against them. He throws himself against them again, and I wince, because that has to hurt. Hawk, I call out. He snarls something, but I can't make it out. It sounded a bit like mine, but that doesn't make sense. I pick up my staff and my bag, and when he flings himself against the doors again, the leather belt stretches and breaks, and Meriden's staff snaps like a twig. The doors are thrown open. Hawk storms inside, shoulders heaving. His clothing is torn, his chest is sweaty, and a trickle of blood runs down one bicep. He is covered in dust, but the most startling thing is his eyes. They're a bright, vicious red. He's gone wild. The conquest moon is fully upon him. 44. Asbeth. I step forward, my pulse skittering with a mixture of arousal and unease. Hawk?
Mine.
He snarls again and thunders toward me, his hooves incredibly loud on the stone floor. He grabs me and pulls me against him, and I bite back a sob of relief at the sight of him. We're rescued. Thank the gods you're here, I whisper. His hands roam over me, and then he grabs my arse and drags me against him. His cock is rock hard, the heat coming off of him absurd. He grinds me against the bulge at his crotch and makes a guttural sound. And then he tears my overskirt off. The conquest moon. Of course, it's upon him, and he's warned me over and over again that he won't be himself when the god's hand is upon him, that he'll be mindless with lust. He didn't come after me because he was worried about me. He came after me to fuck me. And the others are standing around, gaping. Hawk hauls me tighter against him, grinding me against his shaft, and he makes another sound, one of pure bestial need. It's the conquest moon, I cry out, even as he claws at the waist of my pants, desperate to get inside them. I look over at Lark. He's not himself. You need to get out of here.
This way,
calls someone else.
Over here. We've got the rattlings under control.
Lark hefts her shield and heads out the doors. The group rushes out, Gwenna and the others fleeing the chamber that's kept us safe for the last while. I remain locked in Hawk's arms, and I don't think I could get free if I tried. He's all over me, clinging and ripping at my clothes as if it offends him.
Leave the Taurian behind,
the guild soldier calls.
He's gone mad.
Hawk rubs his snout against my head, drinking in my scent, even as he squeezes my backside so tightly that I squeak. He's not mad, I call back. He's just in rut.
Regardless, leave him behind. We'll shut him in until it's safe for him to come out. You can return with us and we'll lock him in.
Leave him behind? Leave him trapped in the crypt by himself when he needs me the most? That's the cruelest of things to suggest. Hawk's hands are roaming over my body, squeezing and touching everything. If he were in his right mind, he'd be full of apologies, because though Hawk is many things, he's always considerate. But he's not himself right now. He warned me and warned me again. His big hand finds the front of my top and tears my chemise down, exposing my breast to his roaming hand, and I hastily fling my cloak over both of us as his mouth closes on my nipple. I make a whimpery noise despite myself. Asbeth? Lark has her weapons out, and she steps toward me. The others are behind her, ready to confront Hawk to save me from him. I shake my head, clinging to him even as he sucks on my nipple hard under the cloak. You all should go. Lock us in, bar the door, leave food. Come back when the conquest moon is gone. It's hard to speak with his mouth being so distracting, and his fingers are driving between my legs, rubbing me through my pants. Are you sure? Lark hesitates about to re-enter the crypt. Hawk lifts his head from my breast and growls, low and menacing. I push his head down, back to my breast, and meet Lark's gaze. I nod at her and mouth, "Go." I've heard stories of the brutal rampages that Taurians and Rut will go into, and it makes the rattling seem tame. I promised Hawk I'd be with him, and I mean it. Aspeth. Get out of here, I yell, even as his fingers tear a hole in my pants. Lock us in. Gwenna surges back into the room, and for a moment I think she's going to try to stop me. Instead, she tosses down her bag of supplies and then grabs the doors, shutting them behind her. I hear scraping and a bit of discussion on the other side as they try to figure out the best way to seal the doors, and then Hawk is pushing a finger into my channel and I suck in a breath because I'm dry and his finger feels huge and invasive. Wait, I tell him, squirming against his hand. Wait. He growls, this time directed at me. Hawk, I say, keeping my voice even. I have to stay focused and hope that my calm bleeds over into him. I grab one of his horns and angle his head back, forcing him to look me in the eye. He thrusts his finger into me again, his features full of mindless hunger as his red gaze meets my determined one. I'm here.
Mine.
He growls. Yours, I agree. I squirm atop the finger that pushes deep inside me. I'm here with you. I'm going to be with you every moment of the Conquest Moon's passing. But I need to be prepared so it doesn't hurt. Understand?
Aspeth,
he rasps.
Mine.
This isn't going as I'd like. Time for bigger moves, then. I grab him by the face and kiss his nose. It's broad and dry, and when he huffs like a charging bull, he huffs right in my face. If he can't be in his own head enough to prepare my body, I need to take control. Maybe I can make him come at least once just to get the edge off. If nothing else, I can get his cock wet with his dripping seed. Maybe that will ease the way enough. Hawk. I make my tone as sultry and seductive as I can. I want to put your cock in my mouth.
Aspeth.
I can't tell if he's hearing what I'm saying or if he's completely lost. Aspeth's mouth, I say in a flirty voice and lick his nose. Your cock. My tongue. He groans, dropping me to the floor. I'll take that as a good sign. I slither out of his clinging grasp, not as easy as it sounds, and clamp my thighs together. He's cored a hole right between the thighs of my pants and ripped my skirt. The buttons on my shirt have popped off. I need to get rid of the rest of my clothing before he leaves me nothing to wear at all. So I make a tease out of it. I undo my cloak, twirling away when Hawk reaches for me again. He snarls angrily, lunging for me, his red eyes wild. I'm baiting him, but I can't help it. I need a breath or two to strip down. I'm yours, I remind him. You want me naked, don't you?
Naked,
he replies thickly and strokes his hand over his cock. Naked, I agree. I shimmy as I kick my boots off and slither out of my pants, hoping they survive the next few days. Once my socks are gone, I give my arse a little wiggle, and he reaches for me again. He grabs me, pulling me close, and buries his face against my neck, even as he reaches for my pussy. You want my mouth on your cock, don't you? I ask, even as I hastily pull the remnants of my blouse and corset off. There's not much left to salvage, and my thin chemise is in tatters. The sight of my clothing seems to frustrate him, and before he can destroy more, I hide it behind me. If he keeps this up, I'll be left without a top. But then his mouth is on my breasts again, and I forget everything else. He's ravenous with need. Hawk's mouth roams over my skin, and then he focuses on my nipple, sucking on it as if his life depends on it. His other hand strays between my thighs again, and I wait for him to tease my clit to prep my body. He doesn't, though, just goes straight for thrusting again, and I work my way free from his grasp again. No, I tell him when he tries to drag me back.
Mine.
Yours, I agree. But you don't want to hurt me, right? I need to get used to this, all of this. And I cup his cock boldly. It's a mistake. He immediately hisses as if in pain, recoiling. Oh, his knot. I feel it, like a swollen ring radiating heat around his groin. I've been thinking so hard about myself that I've forgotten that this isn't fun for him. My poor, honorable Hawk. I run a hand down his chest and pet him, trying to soothe. New tactic, I whisper. Wanna watch me get myself off? He groans, his gaze locked on me, and I'm going to take that as an affirmative. All right, I've never performed this for another, but now seems like a great time to start. The last time I touched Hawk's cock, it didn't feel as swollen as it did just now. So I can only assume that his knot is adding all kinds of terrible pressure, and me mouthing things wouldn't help. I need to prepare myself for this, or it's going to be a very long conquest moon. I spread a discarded cloak on the floor of the crypt like a blanket, and then sit down upon it. Every moment feels like a moment in which I'm waiting for Hawk to pounce on me, but as long as he's still got his pants on, I can take things a little slower. I suspect that when the pants come off, so will the last of his control, and it's probably a good idea that I'm not pleasuring him with my mouth. I don't know what I'd do if he pushed his knot into my mouth. Choke to death on his cock, I suppose. I bite back a hysterical giggle at the visual image and spread my thighs apart.
Mine.
Hawk rumbles, reaching for me as he kneels on the floor to watch. Not yet. I bat his hand away, living dangerously, and ignore his angry snarl. I'm preparing myself. He reaches for me again, and then pauses when I brush over my clit. His wild, red eyes focus there, and he watches as I strum my fingers over my body, trying to entice it into arousal. I'm nervous, not only at Hawk's aggressiveness, but at the fact that this is the first time I've done something like this at all. He tried to prepare me, though. If I hadn't run off last night, determined to get the other half of the ring, we'd have had sex this morning. We'd probably still be in bed, and none of this would have happened. It's too late to fret about such things now, and it's certainly not going to help me come. So, I lie back and try to picture things that I find arousing. Things like Hawk's broad shoulders, the way he rubs his muzzle over my neck as if he can't get enough of my scent. When he rubs his muzzle over the curve of my hip, I moan.
Aspeth.
He groans, and then he pushes my thighs apart with big, strong hands.
Mine.
Yours, I breathe, even as I trace circles around my clit. I watch as he dips his head between my legs, his thick tongue snaking out and licking my entire cleft all at once. My toes curl, and he clamps his hands around my thighs, holding them open as he pushes his tongue inside me. It feels enormous, but wet and hot, and so strangely good. I whimper again and touch myself faster, determined to climax at least once before we get down to business. He works his tongue furiously in and out of me, thrusting with it in an imitation of mating, and it teases my very insides. I've never felt anything like it before, and combined with my frantic rubbing of my clit, I can feel the orgasm building inside me. Please, I whisper, arching my hips. Oh, please. Hawk thrusts his tongue into me again, lapping at my core. It makes a wet squelching sound, and then he grunts with pleasure.
Slick.
Slick? I echo, dazed. He pulls away briefly, glancing up at me with those wild red eyes. His fingers brush through my folds, and then sink into me with another indecently wet sound. He makes it happen again and again, and I'm mortified at how wet I am, and how more of it just seems to keep coming.
Slick,
he says again.
All mine.
Oh, right. Because my body is responding to his. Because his scent is all over me, and my pussy is deciding now is the time to gush like a waterfall. I'd be embarrassed, but Hawk loves it. Loves every wet slap his fingers make as he eases into me again. My fingers slip down to my clit once more, teasing it. He pushes my hand aside and closes his mouth over my clit, sucking on it as he watches me with bright red eyes. His fingers move in and out of me with wet sucking noises, like my body is licking him back. I come, my legs jerking, and a cry escaping my throat. It rips through me with all the force of a storm, so intense that my back arches off the cloak, even as Hawk continues to suck and suck and suck upon me. I wait for the climax to ebb, even as Hawk continues to work his mouth over me. When he doesn't lift his head, I realize he has no intention of doing so, and another small climax bursts through me, my legs curling up even as he shoves them down and continues to suck on my now oversensitized clit with near-brutal intensity. Oh, gods! There's no distracting him away. I push at his head, only for him to ignore me and continue to lap and suck at my clit, sending quivers through my body. I shove at him again. Hawk, let me breathe. He only holds my thighs tighter, the suction around my clit growing more intense by the moment. How many climaxes is he going to give me before he stops? 10? 20? The thought makes me clench, both with excitement and a little bit of worry. Hawk, I insist again, and then shove at his face. How do I distract him? How do I get him to notice me, to lift his head? An idea hits, and I moan loudly, then cry out, Oh, Warlock! He stills over me. My nerves prickle, and I immediately worry I've made a mistake. Does he even realize that's his name? Who he was before he was Hawk?
Mine.
He growls again, crawling over my prone body.
My wife.
Yes, yours. I agree, cupping his face in my hands as he settles his weight over my body. I just wanted to get your attention because... I break off in a squeak of surprise as he rubs his cock against the entrance to my body. Oh, okay, we're doing this now. He pushes into me, and I make another whining noise, my hands sliding to his shoulders and clinging as he continues to push into me with what feels like entirely too much cock. It's not painful, but it doesn't feel incredible either. It's an uncomfortable sensation of being stretched in places I've never been stretched before. I gasp and pant for air, feeling as if I'm being hollowed out from inside. He eventually stops pushing forward, and I tremble, holding on to him as he gazes down at me. I know he's lost to the Conquest Moon's hold on him, but truthfully, he's being quite gentle for someone abandoned to a rutting frenzy. I reach up and stroke his cheek to reassure him. I'm here, Hawk. I'm here with you, just like I promised. I love you. The words float to the top of my mind, but I don't say them. It seems wrong to in this moment, when he might not even remember they're said. When he's crushing me under his weight and his cock is trying to reach my navel from the inside. He groans, pressing his muzzle against the side of my face, and his hips jerk. He thrusts into me, and I suck in a breath, because that feels different. Different than just having his enormous penis hanging out inside me, forcing my innards to make room for him. Hawk thrusts into me again, and my breath stutters. All right, that definitely feels good. Better, I whisper. Oh, so much better. I think I like that. If he can understand me, he doesn't show it. He grips me by the hips and continues to pound into me, his movements slow and steady and sure. I relax, because this whole rutting thing isn't so bad. My pussy is a little achy, but overall, I'm enjoying this. I love the strange way he feels over me, how big he is, and how small and dainty he makes me feel. I never thought I'd care if I was tiny or helpless. But under him, I like the sensation of being smaller and lost against his larger strength. He moves quicker, his shuttling hips picking up speed. His breath accelerates too, and he's starting to push into me with such force that our hips slap together and my pussy makes a wet squelching sound. He leans over me and drives deep, his hips working, and I gasp as he lifts one of my legs, locking it around his hips. It changes the angle of his thrusting, and everything feels intense. My pussy clenches around him, tightening as another orgasm crawls through my veins, and I wheeze as every muscle in my lower body locks up in response, the climax making my back taut. Hawk grunts and then moves faster, hunching over me. I'm dimly aware of his presence, of his pounding, merciless cock as the pleasure of release washes over me. I'm so glad I agreed to do this. So glad that Hawk is mine. So he pushes deeper into my body, and something enormous hammers at the entrance to my channel. My eyes fly open and I tense. Hawk? He grunts again, lost in the moment, and pushes harder. When that unyielding, too large bit pushes against my body once more, I realize that he hasn't knotted me yet. That there's even more to fit inside. Oh, gods, I suck in a breath. Now I see the issue. He pushes against me, and when my body doesn't give, he makes a frustrated, bestial sound. He lifts his hand to his mouth, his long, thick tongue snaking out, and licks his fingers. Then his hand moves between our bodies quicker than I can process what he's doing, and he rubs my clit with it. I cry out at how good it feels, new pleasure surging through my body. More slick comes from me, the wet noises between us growing even louder. As I do, he thrusts forward sharply, and then he's inside my slicked, well-juiced body. Sort of. He pushes and pushes, wedging his knot into my wet heat, and I bite my lip. All the while, his hand works on my clit, and it's the oddest mixture of pleasure and discomfort I've ever felt. It's too much, his knot. I can't take it all. He continues to press into me, and I feel as if my body is going to shatter around him, that I'm too tight, that I can't take any more. I clamp onto his surging body tightly, unable to do more than hold on as he knots me. He fills me so full that I can't bear it, and all of me quakes and trembles. With another animalistic growl, he pushes deep again, and it's like something gives inside me. We both gasp, and then Hawk is the one shuddering, his big body shivering as his release boils out of him. I wait, and then it's like something wet spills inside me. I squirm at the sensation, and he makes a low gasping sound, and it sets off another round. Over and over, I feel him bathing my insides with his release, and just when I think he's done, he lets out another jet and groans once more. And I'm helpless to do anything but take it. Take all of it. The exquisite pleasure of the orgasms have disappeared, and everything feels tight and achy and uncomfortable. Even Hawk's pleasant, heavy weight over me feels like a bit too much. I bite my lip, because this is part of what he warned me about. That he'd knot me and we'd be stuck together, bodies locked, until he releases me. I just didn't ask how long it would take. I really should have, I chide myself, even as I shift underneath him, trying to get comfortable. How long are we going to be together like this? Hours? Days? I remain quiet, playing with the short hair that covers his shoulders, as I wait for him to find himself. Hawk eventually groans, lifting his head.
Aspeth.
I'm here. My voice is small, and I wriggle my hips, trying to find a better position. There isn't one. I still feel like an overfilled water skin. Are you all right? He pants, as if he's been running up a mountain.
Just trying to stay in my head. Difficult.
Hawk's big body shifts, and then he surges into me again, almost involuntarily.
Not Conquest Moon.
I know. I stroke the short, fuzzy fur on his cheek, a wave of foolish affection moving over me. You're all right. I'm here with you. The god's grip on him must be less intense while his knot deflates. He runs his muzzle over my shoulder, then my ear.
Where are we? Did I hurt you? Are you all right?
I'm fine. More or less. I'm alive. I'm knotted, and my husband is here with me. He sounds full of remorse, and I don't want him stressing over anything. You were very gentle. He snorts, and I swear it makes his cock jump inside me.
That doesn't sound like a Taurian in rut.
You were enthusiastic then, but it wasn't so bad. I pause. Also, we're in a crypt, which is slightly creepy, and there might be ghosts watching us. He lifts his head, and as he does, I can see that the crazed look in his gaze is somewhat lessened, but not by much.
So we are. You haven't seen any spiders, have you?
Laughter bubbles up inside me, and giggling just makes the tight connection between our bodies that much more sensitive. I shift under him, smiling. We were a bit too busy being attacked by rattlings to check for spiders, alas. But we've been here for a while, most of a day, I think, and no sign of spiders. Some of the tension in his shoulders eases.
Good. The last thing I need is a spider biting my balls while they're aching like this.
I smother another giggle.
Where are the others?
He asks. They beat a hasty retreat when you freed my breast and started licking it.
Smart.
His hand moves to my breast, teasing the nipple.
They are quite lovely tits, though.
I bite back a moan, because it's evident that even though Hawk is himself at the moment, he's still not sated.
I could make you come.
He murmurs, stroking my nipple with slow, thoughtful motions.
I could make you come over and over again while you're locked against me. While you're helpless and pinned against my knot. I love that thought. In fact, I'm going to do that. But after you tell me everything that's been going on, spare no detail.
It's a bit of a long story.
Neither you nor I are going anywhere for a while, little bird.
I rather like that he calls me his little bird. It doesn't sound like he hates me. So I tell him about the ring we found, the ring that even now is painting everything with a continual red glow. I remind him of my father's artifact issues and how I need to save him. I don't tell him that Gwenna was the one that initially stole the ring. I put that on my shoulders. And I tell him about how it was my idea to come down here and talked the others into coming with me. I blackmailed them, I tell him. They're blameless.
You're full of shit,
he tells me, an amused smile curling his mouth.
Blackmailed them with what?
He continues to stroke my nipple, sending flickers of desire through my tightly knotted body. I'd anticipated a few things about Hawk's rat, but I hadn't anticipated this, the constant staring into each other's faces while we wait for his knot to go down. The intimacy of this moment, with his body so deep into mine, the connection between us, it's changing everything. And I feel vulnerable and yet so very seen, too. All right, perhaps I didn't blackmail them, but it was my idea, and I don't want them to suffer for it. I tell him then about Magpie, and how she'd suggested that she knew people and she'd come with us, and then finding out she was working with Barnabas when he showed up. Hawk doesn't seem surprised by that part.
I found her with him. They were celebrating. Said you'd left. I knew they'd done something and I lost my shit. I might have had them arrested.
He pauses, thinking.
I might have also punched Barnabas in the face, but my memory is hazy. I can blame it all on the Conquest Moon.
Arresting them? I shake my head, frowning. What's arresting them going to do? That's a slap on the wrist. The guild...
Won't do much, aye. At least not to Barnabas. Just like they won't do much to you. They can't ruin their relationships with the Holders. But the rest of us can get caught in the crossfire.
My heart aches. I'm not going to let anything happen to you. He just gives me a wry smile, as if he doesn't quite believe me.
You couldn't have waited for me to come home? Asked me for help instead of Magpie?
You're too honorable. You wouldn't help.
You think I'd rather sit around with my horn up my arse? Watch you get sent home and put in danger?
First of all, I don't know how you could put your horn up your own arse without some pretty thorough twisting. Second of all, I don't know. I've been so used to taking everything on, to expecting no one to help me. I'm sorry I didn't come to you.
You should have. I'm your husband. It's my job to protect you.
You're my husband in name only, remember?
That's not what it feels like.
He rocks his hips and I suck in a breath. Because it does indeed feel like we're far more than just two strangers in a marriage of convenience. Today has changed everything. No, I realize. It changed long ago. I've just not acknowledged it until now. I've lost my heart somewhere along the way to this huge, fierce Taurian who hates spiders. 45. Aspeth. Just like we had in bed at home, we talk of nothing and everything. With Hawk's help, I bind up my injured wrist so it has some support. Hawk caresses me idly while I tell him about our caved-in adventures, and then we separate, his spent cock pulling free from my body. Oh, it feels strange to not have him inside me, stretching me past comfort into something that's bliss. I sit up and look around for something I can use as a chamber pot, since my stomach still feels incredibly full of his release. In the end, I empty a bag and designate a corner, humiliated that we don't even have the privacy for this. I remember my ladies talking about things one does after sex. Always pee afterward, and hop to get rid of his leavings. I do both, while Hawk politely ignores me, and I'm mortified at the absolute flood that leaves my body. Taurians sure do have a lot of seed. I clean myself up, cheeks burning, with a dampened scrap of fabric torn from my sleeve. The pack Gwenna tossed has several canteens, much to my relief, and I don't feel terrible using a few spoonfuls to clean up. Once I feel a bit more like myself, I pull on a short chemise I had in my bag. Well, now that wasn't quite the ordeal everyone made it out to be. I turn to Hawk, the satchel of foodstuffs in my arms. Would you like a snack? He rips the bag from my grip and grabs me by the waist. I yelp in surprise, though he isn't hurting me, and Hawk tugs me against his groin. It's rock hard once more, and when I look up, the red is back in his gaze, stronger than ever. Poor Hawk. That wasn't much of a break from the madness. He grabs my chemise at the collar, and I stop his hand before he can tear. If you rip this, I won't have anything to wear. He snarls at me, all red eyes and hunger, and I slither out of his grasp, going underneath his clutching arms. The chemise is loose and falls off the moment I do, and I collapse on the floor, naked once more. Hawk is over me in a heartbeat. He presses me to the rumpled cloak that's serving as a blanket and shoves me forward. In the next moment, he pulls my hips into the air and spreads my thighs while I'm on hands and knees. That's all the warning I get before he's pumping into me again. His strokes quick and decisive and so full of hunger that it takes my breath away. My body is still stretched and slick from before, and he's able to knot me in less time, and then he's coming, quaking over me as his release takes control. That time was fast and furious, and while it didn't give me multiple orgasms like before, I don't mind. The feel of Hawk over me and inside me is erotic all on its own, and I ache for him because he's clearly lost right now. I'm glad it's me with him, and not a stranger. He collapses over me, pressing me into the floor, and I shift, twitching and fall, trying to get comfortable underneath him. After a few minutes pass, Hawk rubs his face against the back of my head, further tangling my wrecked hair.
Asbeth.
I'm here. I pat the hand that reaches for me. Here and fine.
I didn't make you come that time, did I? I feel like it was fast.
Fast, but not rough. It's fine. I love that he's still inquiring about me, as if I'm just as important as his endless hunger.
Fine is not acceptable.
He strokes his hand down my soft belly, moving between my thighs.
And the nice thing about you being knotted is that you can't squirm away while I touch you.
He deftly strokes my clit, and the combination of his cock filling me and the sensitive nerves being strummed makes me whine loudly.
And oh, how I love to touch you.
He pins me to the floor and works my clit until I come 3 times in a row, all the while whispering filthy words into my ear. When his cock eases free from my body again, I know there won't be much time between rounds of rutting, but this time I'm prepared. I do my business quickly, tidy up, drink some water, and then he's reaching for me again, lost in the rutting madness. Now I see why the Taurians speak of the conquest moon with both love and dread. On and on the cycle continues. Hours pass, maybe entire afternoons. I can't tell if it's day or night in the crypt. Time runs together. Sometimes between bouts of rutting we'll doze, locked together only for me to wake up to Hawk fucking me again. We have sex over and over until everything below the waist for me is tender and sore, and my pussy feels permanently sticky. Everything in the crypt seems to be covered in a layer of sweat and Taurian leavings, and I'm both embarrassed that we've defiled this place and a little proud we're together. And after this, I feel closer to him than ever. 46. Asbeth. Post-conquest moon. Hawk rubs my hip, drawing little circles into my skin.
I think it's slowing down.
He murmurs, sounding as exhausted as I am.
I don't feel as if my skull's about to burst any longer.
I smile idly, too tired to move from my spot tucked at his side. Our bodies are joined, his cock still knotted inside me, and I ache. My legs ache, my back aches, my pussy certainly aches, but I still feel good. Has it been several days? I can't tell.
We're low on food and water, and this place is a mess. I think so.
His hand slides to my pussy, and I tense, because even that area feels achy. But he only takes some of the wetness of our mingled juices and drags his fingers through them, then paints my skin, as if marking me.
Thank you again.
Thank you. Feels strange to hear in this moment. I want to hear words of love, not thanks. It was our agreement, I say, trying to keep the vague hurt out of my tone. I always said I'd do this with you.
Aye, you did.
He leans in and rubs his long, broad nose against my temple.
Where are your spectacles? Did I break them?
They shattered in the cave-in. I'm trying not to fret over that, because spectacles are expensive, and I don't have any coin left. I've got bigger issues to deal with than broken spectacles. I'll manage. He tuts.
We'll get you new ones. I know a Taurian in the city who can put something together for you. We'll just need to wait for him to come back from the plains.
He sounds so casual, and that makes my heart ache, especially after that tepid thank you. You make it seem like we have a future together, I say, tone cheery. Hawk steals against me.
After all this, you doubt me?
I immediately feel like an ass. I turn my head, gazing at him. No, I'm just feeling needy and lost. I don't know what's going to happen with me, Hawk. I'm a holder's heir who just got caught stealing from the guild. He pulls me tightly against him, hugging me from behind.
I'll be at your side no matter what happens. As long as you want me there.
I wrap my arms around him. Don't leave me. Never leave me.
As long as you want me there.
He repeats, making it a promise. He rubs his muzzle against my hair again.
But we both know a lady holder shouldn't be married to a Taurian.
I know that. I'm trying not to think about that. I never wanted to be a lady holder anyhow, I force myself to say lightly. So they'll just have to cope. He chuckles, nipping my ear. His hips surge against mine, and I realize that the conquest moon is upon him again. I hold him tight, and his hand steals to my breast, teasing the nipple and sending tired pleasure skittering through my body. It feels like eternity has passed when Hawk wakes me from a nap, and his eyes are bright gold, and not the red that tinted them with every moment of our time in the crypt. It's time to go. I ache, and I'm filthy, and I want a real night's sleep, but I'm still not ready to go. I don't want to face the world outside, not after what we've shared in here. I dress with stiff fingers and try to pull my hair into some semblance of modesty. But I stink of sweat and sex and more sweat and more sex. I'm a wreck, and I'm trying not to think about all the things that I've forced out of my mind for the last several days. Do you think Squeaker is all right? I ask, worried. Do you think the nest maid fed her, changed her litter, petted her?
I'm positive.
Hawk reassures me, pulling on his clothes.
Magpie might be self-serving, but no one's going to take their revenge on a cat.
I hope he's right. That Gwenna is back, or aware of the situation, and she'll look after Squeaker for me. My poor cat. No one's been there to pet her and snuggle her for days. She must be feeling so abandoned. I hate that aspect of guild life, staying away from home for days on end. My cat won't understand. Then again, I'm probably going to be booted from the guild, so what does it matter? I fasten my blouse, wincing at how the buttons have been ripped out by Hawk's rampaging hands. He was in such a rush, and I was so full of my own plans, that we forgot the most basic need. Birth control. There's no sense stressing over it now, though. What's done is done. And if I have a Taurian's child, I suppose my father won't oppose my marriage nearly as strongly, will he? As if he can sense the despairing turn my thoughts are taking, Hawk moves to my side. He takes my hand in his and kisses my knuckles.
Aspeth, I can hear you thinking.
I sigh.
Whatever comes next, we do it together, remember?
He kisses my knuckles again.
I love you, little bird.
I blink up at him in wonder. It's the first time he's told me that he cares for me. I love you too, Hawk. My husband. He smiles down at me, my hand tucked against his muzzle, and for a moment, I'm truly content. But then it's time to go. We gather our things and tidy up the crypt. I should be reported that we've spent the last several days amidst the dead, but it feels like they were watching out for us, that somewhere in the underworld, the lady with the unpronounceable name and her husband know that I want to keep their rings together, and that if it were up to me, their crypt would remain otherwise untouched. But the guild is the guild, and if there's a hint of magic to be found, it'll be torn apart. At its core, the Royal Artifactual Guild is a guild of tomb robbers. And I don't know if I have the heart for it. Maybe I never have. Maybe I was never meant to be Sparrow after all. 47. Aspeth. The moment we step out of the Everbelow, I'm immediately arrested. Even Hawk's protests can't save me, and I'm politely but firmly dragged to the guild jail. I didn't even know the guild had a jail, but apparently there's a tower with small, uncomfortable rooms that are guarded by more guild employees, repeaters. Mine has a small window that looks out upon the city, far too high up for me to jump out and try to escape. There's a narrow cot along the wall, and a small stool, and a bucket to serve as a chamber pot. Not unexpected. I crawl into bed and sleep for what feels like days. When I wake up, there are three trays of food untouched, sitting by the door. I'm ravenous and eat everything, and then collapse back into bed again. I wake up when someone brings me more food and water, but this time I use the water to clean up. Once I'm reasonably tidy, as reasonably as one can be in a jail cell, I sit on the stool and look out the window. They've confiscated my rings, the rings I fought so hard in order to save my father's keep. I knew they would, but the realization still depresses me. All of that work, all of the striving, and I still have nothing to show for it. Barnabas could be conquering my father's keep even now. Hawk had mentioned he'd turned both Barnabas and Magpie over to the guild, but the fact that I'm imprisoned tells me whose side they've taken. So I stare out the window and mope. There's nothing else to do, after all. Worrying about my cat or my five or my husband or my father or my people or my own neck won't help things. So I admire the clouds and watch people scuttle along the streets below and imagine stories for them. Someone brings me food and water twice a day. I ask for a book to read, even if it's just guild pamphlets about the proper binding of documentation, just something, and they ignore me. I sleep a lot, too, because when it's dark outside, even the window provides no entertainment. I wonder if Hawk is relieved that I'm gone, now that his rut is over. I wonder if he still feels the same. I wonder If they're sending him into the tunnels even now to pick clean the crypt we spent so much time in. I wonder what stories Barnabas and Magpie are telling about me. I'm sure they're painting me as the villain of the tale. In a way, it does look bad, and without me there to explain properly the reasons behind my theft, I seem spoiled and greedy. No one is going to take my side, especially if they don't hear my half of the tale. Time passes. 18 days in agonizing slowness. There is no boredom quite like sitting and staring out a window, waiting for your fate. At times I just want them to get on with it, to sentence me and be done. Or perhaps I've already been judged, and this is the punishment? Death by boredom? On the morning of the 19th day, the door to my small room opens. I jump to my feet, hoping against hope that it's Hawk, that he's come to free me, that love shines in his eyes, and I haven't been forgotten. I'm a little disappointed when Lark, Kip, Meriden, and Gwenna come through, but only a little. Then I squeal with happiness and fling myself forward, hugging each one of them. What are you guys doing here?
Gods, you smell! Lark says after she hugs me. She fans her face, grimacing. Don't they bathe you up here?
No luxury baths for prisoners, I'm afraid, I tease, not hurt by her words. Lark has always been the first to say exactly what she's thinking, and I'm positive I do smell. I've been washing myself with bits of extra water to keep the grime off my skin, but my hair's filthy, and I'm wearing the same tattered clothing I wore prior to the cave-in, and there's been no washing for them. A terrible thought occurs to me. Have you all been arrested too? Meriden shakes her head. No, we're to be tried together as a five. That's why we're here. We're meeting before the guild masters shortly. We are? Oh, gods. I touch my messy hair and torn clothing and grimace. Someone help me clean up. Kip slithers free of his house, a new one, I see, with the piece of old shell affixed to the back with leather stitching through a few purposeful holes, and holds out a comb. A moment later, he pulls a fresh chemise from his shell and a bundled guild coat. You are a wonder, I tell him, and he gives me a lizard-like wink, I think. They help me get ready, with Gwenna braiding my wrecked hair into a tight bun at the base of my neck. The new jacket fits a little tight, but it's clean, and I don't feel like a gutter goblin, at least. I straighten and put on my best Lord Holder's daughter demeanor. If nothing else, I did what I did out of duty. No Holder would find me guilty. They would understand. We're marched down the tower stairs and across the great sweeping halls of the guild's network of buildings. Everyone seems to be in their best livery, and the halls are crawling with people. It's strange to see, though I don't let my confusion show on my face. When another guild master rushes by with his sash heavy and clinking with pins, Meriden links her arm with mine and leans in, as if we're two ladies on a jaunt, instead of a prisoner and her co-conspirator. The king is here. I lose my composure and jerk to stare at her. What? He is? She nods, her expression serene. Guild law apparently states that a dispute with Holder nobility requires a royal decision. Gods, this is worse than I thought. Courage, Meriden tells me, and gives my arm a squeeze. I've sent a letter to my father stating that if we're all kicked out of the guild, I will insist you go with me to the Convent of Divine Silence. No one will touch you on holy ground. I manage a weak smile. So I won't die instantly. I'll just die slowly, at the convent. Lovely. But I appreciate that Meriden is trying to save me. I just don't know what I'll do without Hawk. At some point in all of this, he's become more important than the guild. More important than anything.
and Magpie is his boss.
Ugh.
We're led into what looks like a courtroom, with several benches along the walls. Instead of the judge's seat, there's a large throne, and upon it sits a middle-aged blob in colourful clothing. I squint to see that the king is balding and has a sour expression on his face.
Goody.
He wears a thin circlet over his brow, and his sleeves are encrusted with jewels, showing both fashion and wealth. His heavy necklace has three thick medallions upon it, and something tells me that if I could see more than blobs, they'd probably have Prelian runes on them. I've only met the king once or twice in my life, but the look on his face doesn't bode well. Our five are shuffled to a bench at the corner of the room, with guards on both sides. Lark and Meriden sit together on one side of me, with Gwenna and Kip on my other side. I can't help but notice that Lark's and Meriden's pinky fingers are locked together as they sit. I'm glad they've got each other. I keep squinting as I glance around the room, looking for familiar faces. Across from us, Magpie sits on one bench wearing her guild regalia, and a bench ahead of her, Barnabas sits with his retainers, his clothing as colourful as the king's. Today, he's got three feathers in his stupid hat. I squint on past him and look for a dark reddish face and horns. Hawk is near the door, close to another Taurian. The Taurians must be returning to the city, then.
Are all present?
The king demands when the room settles. Rooster steps forward, wearing his guild sashes and awards as well. For all his short, squatty height, his sash is so decorated that it trails on the ground after him, tinkling with metal. Perhaps he was once a very successful tunnel diver before he found a love for bureaucracy. He approaches the king's throne and bows deeply, then nods.
All accused are present, Your Majesty.
Good.
He gazes around the room, and I could swear his attention locks onto me briefly, before he pulls out a scroll he has in his lap.
I have read the charges against Lord Barnabas Chatworth of Chatworth Hold, Magpie of the Royal Artifactual Guild, and Lady Aspeth Honore of Honore Hold. I have conferred with my advisers and with the guild leaders, and have come to a decision upon all three parties. Magpie of the Royal Artifactual Guild, please stand.
I can't believe what I'm hearing. A decision has already been made, but no one's talked to me or asked me anything. Panicked, I clutch Gwenna's hand, but hers feels sweaty and trembles in my grip. If no one spoke on my behalf, how can they possibly make a decision for me? How? Magpie stands.
I'm here, Your Majesty.
Do you abide by the king's ruling?
Rooster focuses his gaze on her. The question is a formality only. Everyone knows that you don't cross the king. That's the quickest way to make an enemy for the entire guild.
Of course I do,
Magpie says, and I can't tell if she's sober or not. I do notice that no one is seated upon her bench with her in support, not even Hawk. I hope that's a good sign.
Magpie of the Royal Artifactual Guild. You have been accused of conspiracy to overthrow Honore Hold and of conspiring to withhold artifacts from the guild. I find you guilty on both charges.
The king reads from his scroll in a bored voice, and I suck in a breath. She's guilty.
You will be stripped of your rank as guildmaster, and all such benefits have been revoked. You will no longer be able to teach classes and receive a tithe from students. Such monies will be diverted to the guild's coffers. Furthermore, you have been stripped of guild status entirely. You will now be referred to by your given name, Mary Turner, and are ineligible to return to guild employment. Please surrender your sash and jacket.
I squint hard, but I can't see Magpie's reaction. Being stripped of her guild honors isn't unexpected, but it means that possibly someone believes my side of things. I clutch Meriden's hand tightly, and Gwenna grips my other one.
Magpie moves forward and slaps her guild sash down onto Rooster's hand. She shrugs off her jacket and pushes it into his grip too, and then spits at his feet.
That was a long time coming,
Rooster says in a bland voice.
You've been a piss-poor guildmaster for years now. You have until tonight to clear out your rooms in your nest.
She scowls at him and says nothing.
Dismissed,
the king says with a flick of his hand. Magpie, Mary, gives a jerky nod and then slams out of the room, pushing past everyone in guild uniform.
Lord Barnabas Chatworth,
the king says.
You are accused of conspiracy to overthrow Honori Hold.
I don't dare breathe as Barnabas gets to his feet.
It is a misunderstanding, Your Majesty,
he says in an unctuous voice.
Lady Aspeth is paranoid and seeking revenge after I spurned her.
The nerve! I clamp my jaw shut to keep from yelling out about his lies. The king holds a hand up.
You have left a paper trail of your intentions with the guild, I'm afraid. The time for claiming innocence is long past. I find you guilty of conspiring to take over a hold, though whether or not it is Honori Hold is questionable. The Chatworth Hold must donate no less than 8 artifacts of the guild's choosing, 4 major and 4 minor. These artifacts will be split between the guild and the throne as penance for your crimes.
That's it? That's a slap on the wrist. It'll hurt Barnabas's family in their trove, of course, but considering that he just had a bunch of artifacts dug up, I'm not thrilled. They'll easily acquire comparable artifacts again. And I love how the king was sure to specify that the artifacts are going to go to the guild and to him. Nothing for my poor family's hold, which was on the verge of being wiped out. Even so, I know this is how the game is played. The king is always careful with the holder families because he doesn't want them rising up against him. He's also careful with the guild for the same reason. It's all a game of power. And Magpie is nobody to him, whereas Barnabas might be an ally in the future. Hence the slap on the wrist. It's ironic that if Barnabas had succeeded in taking over my father's keep, we'd have been murdered, and there would be no repercussions, because there would be no family left to protest to the king. But caught in the act, you pay the price. Barnabas isn't happy with the king's ruling, though.
Your Majesty,
he protests.
This has all been a misunderstanding. I never tried to take over Honori Hold. To do so would be foolishness, as I'm to marry into the family.
The lady is already married.
A familiar voice calls out, and Hawk strides forward. My heart flutters, and I clutch my friend's hands tightly as the big Taurian approaches the king. Even though I'm squinting, he looks amazing. Handsome, powerful, strong.
Aspeth is my wife.
Swoon. Barnabas flicks a dismissive look over at Hawk.
A marriage in secret to a Taurian commoner doesn't count. The lady is married to a guild master.
Rooster corrects.
And a highly respected one. Do not disparage him.
I gasp. Guild master? When? Sure enough, Hawk's sash is the bright, vivacious red of the guild master's, and sprinkled with many pins. They must have seen his brilliance and finally given him the rank he deserved all along. He should have been the master all this time instead of Magpie. Elated, I sniff back tears of joy. If nothing else, Hawk will be fine. He will teach students to succeed, and then he'll make enough from their tithes that he'll be able to pay back his hand. More than anything, he'll get the respect from the guild that he deserves.
Silence, all of you,
the king says in a bored voice.
He raises a hand in the air, waiting for the courtroom to quiet. When it does, he eyes Barnabas.
You have heard my verdict. Do you have a problem with it?
Barnabas's expression grows sulky.
Do you have a problem with it?
The king repeats, his tone flat.
Of course not, Your Majesty.
He bows and backs away.
Chatsworth Hold will comply with your decision. I will inform my father's men at once so they can prepare the treasury.
And I'd be willing to bet that his father won't be thrilled.
Let us continue.
The king says.
Bring up Magpie's students.
Hands linked, we get to our feet. Kip leads the way as we head to stand in front of the king. I keep my chin up, because I don't want to look guilty. I know what I did. I accept responsibility for it.
Magpie's students, you have been accused of attempting to steal from the guild. You...
It was me, I blurt out, stepping forward. I was the one behind everything. The others are innocent. No, Aspeth, Lark protests. Gwenna takes my hand and Meriden steps forward to my side, Kip next to her.